Brutal. All right. So those of you who have been reading the mailing list recently have seen a bit of discussion about a proposal that I have kind of jointly come to with James for how we might try to simplify what's in the current location conveyance draft. I mean, I think when this started out, and I was there at the time, but it's in such the distant, hazy past that I can actually barely remember it, this was a pretty simple idea. And the simple idea was we wanted to be able to send a SIP request, and there was going to be a way that we could actually have it indicate a PIDIF body that was somehow associated with the request carried within it. And we thought this would be useful for all kinds of things. We wanted to be able to do, like, alternate reality gaming and Pizza Hut finding you and hunting you down on the street, or even emergency services. Though we recognized from the start that emergency services is a very different case that has its own peculiarities and rules. There's only so much we're really going to be able to standardize about that. But looking at the draft today, I mean, let's face it, it's gotten pretty complicated. There's actually a ton of moving parts that are in it. And some of these are my own fault. I have this RFC, what is it, 5606, that is responsible for this routing allowed parameter that's in there now. But a lot of the things in there are actually related to these specific use cases involving multiple bits of location information that are being carried simultaneously, and exactly how we account for them, which one is supposed to be used for routing, and who put which one in, and what can we really figure out about it? So the idea is to try to cut down on that a bit, to see if we can't cover the same use cases or pretty much the same use cases. And again, this gets down into the nitty-gritty of what the requirements really are for some of these use cases, but see if we can't support pretty much the same stuff with just less parts. So next slide, please. So one of the important use cases, the proxies occasionally seem to want to assert location information. Now, there are undoubtedly cases where a user agent simply is not able to act as a geoprivileged location generator. It just can't put it in itself. And in that case, there are assuredly cases where a proxy server would like to add location information it is somehow aware of. To give you an example of what I mean about this, imagine you've got like a normal mobile version of a black phone, not a fancy iPhone with like GPS in it or something. Your carrier, by triangulating your signal, has a decent sense of where you are. You want to make a call from it, it's going out, and you know your user agent just simply can't add this location information to it, but your carrier code as it goes by. That's a use case we all want to support, I'm sure. The problem is sometimes both the user agent and the proxy server may know your location, they may have different ideas about it. And this too is a use case that we want to try to support. So as you can see in this case, location 1 coming from the UA, location 2 from some location generator out in space associated with the proxy server. What actually ends up going to the location recipient in this case? Next slide, please. So today, as I said, there's a lot of machinery in there that kind of tracks who inserted what for PIDIF LO bodies. And what I think we might want to do instead is try to go back to kind of what I think was the original vision of this document, that there's a PIDIF LO body that's associated with a session, and that if it's unacceptable to a proxy server that you proceed with the PIDIF LO body that's been established by the user agent, that we tell the user agent that. And have the proxy server say, you know, I don't like that location. And possibly, if it knows of a better location, it could even include it. Now, you know, if we wanted to get real tricky, it's the case that if the user agent sends up, say, location 1, and the proxy sees it and doesn't like it, knows some better location, but thinks, actually, you know, we should probably have both of these be composed, both the user agent's location that he originally put in and the one I'm thinking of. Well, great. The proxy can actually compose those into a single PIDIF LO document, which can have all kinds of different stipulations for different devices, users, services, just like any presence document. PIDIF LO is just presence. Everything that's in the presence data model applies to it. And we've stipulated from the start of this, it's perfectly reasonable for PIDIF LO bodies to contain multiple pieces of location information in accordance with the statutes of the presence data model. So in this case, the proxy could just push this back to the user agent. Next slide, please. And once it's back there, whether this is combined LI1 and LI2 or just LI2, the proxy then decides to let it through. So what we end up in this case is, again, one piece of location information that's coupled with the session, no confusion, and no need for a lot of these parameters that kind of keep track of who did what and how and why. Because honestly, that stuff belongs in the PIDIF body anyway. The PIDIF body has all this information that tells you who inserted stuff. We have a whole Nina stanza, right, that ended up in Appendix A of the original PIDIF LO document that's supposed to explain all the things you need to know about who put something in for the purposes of these extremely critical applications. So the proposal is basically to fall back on that, to fall back on an architectural separation between the SIP layer and the PIDIF layer, where PDIF does its job, and SIP does its job. SIP is just a delivery vehicle for PDIF to get where it wants to go. PDIF handles all the low-level munging. Next slide, please. So if we do this, I think we can get rid of things like the used for routing and inserted by parameters. We can also get rid of potentially confusing cases where, I mean, the proxy server, you know, wants to overwrite basically the location that a user agent has provided. And, you know, today, I mean, it doesn't really even have a way to do that, right? I mean, this mechanism of just changing out the URI wouldn't really help. Now, I do understand in these emergency services cases, even if in those cases, the endpoint, the location recipient, eventually wants to see every possible piece of location information that was ever added. That doesn't mean that there aren't other use cases, right? Reasonable ones, I think, where a proxy might know better and might want to overwrite it. I mean, it's, you know, I think this is a capability the architecture should have in this instance. So I think we can get rid of that and probably get rid of even some of the error codes that rely on all this machinery and just clean this all up. Make it a shorter document. Fewer pages, simpler mechanism. Everybody's happy. Thoughts? I think was James, you know, you've been sitting back in there.
All right, so James Winterbottom. I have a question perhaps rather than anything else at this point. Today we can support both a location URI and a location in the body in the PDIF flow. And those can originate from an endpoint. And there are particular use cases which are currently being tested and not quite deployed but well underway for that, where, for example, the endpoint gets a location that it's using as its initial route determination. But it's a mobile device. So in that case, it's including both of those pieces of information up to, say, the ESRP. And the ESRP may or may not dereference that URI, but we certainly have got use cases within things that are going on in NINA where they are dereferencing that URI. Or if they're not dereferencing that URI, they're actually using the original location, and they may actually end up with a subsequent different result from looking up in Lost simply because of who they are that's asking. Mm-hmm. And then that URI is being pushed onto the PSAP. So we definitely have use cases where you want both the location body and the location URI in the header where the location URI could be used for dereferencing. So as long as this isn't getting rid of that, I'm okay with it.
You're totally cool. I don't think it's getting rid of that. Next, John.
John Owell. Have we given consideration to the possibility of looping here? Where the you send back a 424, you receive another invite that perhaps isn't connected to that 424, it's just got a different location. By this time, the devices or the proxy has knowledge that the device's its own location generator thinks it's moved a bit and it sends back another 424. We surely need to guard against that.
I mean, you know, of course, the 424 isn't something I just made up. This has been in there all along, right? So, I mean, that could be true of any number of things in this. Sure, that could loop for precisely that reason. I don't think that's a feature particular of this particular mechanism, but I'm sure that we could account for that eventuality. I think at the end of the day, having a proxy have the policy capability to reject location information is a use case for a number of reasons, certainly not just this. And I've heard of people doing applications like if you're in a particular space, you know, then this will work. And if you leave the space, then it won't. That I think have similar potential properties. In terms of a loop, I mean,
one potential solution would be if the PDIF flow itself contains information that it is clear that it's come from the proxy to start with, then that might solve it. Although, of course, it's probably not a PDIF flow that you got here. It's probably just a reference. So.
If you go back to the interesting one, this one. So, I mean, in this case, again, like, you can literally take the LI2 by value and push it in the body of the 424 back to the user agent and then have that be what is in the body of a subsequent re-invite, a reissuance of the invite. So it literally could be the one provided by the proxy. You can even have the proxy signature on it, I mean.
Anyway, that's just something to make sure we take account of in the eventual solution.
No, that's perfectly reasonable. I don't think we'd need any new stuff to support that, probably just new language. Mr. Polk, anything for that? So I think this is a great idea, and that's why I wrote this like mail about it, and I have the slide presentation and so on. I haven't heard anybody saying the contrary, except perhaps people heading to the mic right now. So if no one is going to get up and say, this is not a great idea, we should never do this, then I'd say we should do it. So, Keith.
Keith Trage, this is not a good idea. We should never do this. The reason is that it removes use cases that we need to support and are already needing to support. Thank you.
Keith, could you elaborate on those use cases to sort of inform the working group about
I've
how we might...
I've said it on the mailing list already. I don't need to repeat it in the room. The use case I want to keep, I've already said, on the mailing list, and that is the reason why I cannot support it.
I don't believe you've articulated a use case in the mailing list, at least not to the degree that I understand it. So right. As you've described it, I believe that we cover it. So could you explain
in an emergency call, for an example, yeah. The telephone that you've drawn there, that is a telephone, isn't it? Wants to insert a location, inserts a location in the network. There is a network which happens to have the proxy. There is a network determined location which it wants to add to that, and both of them need to go to the location recipient. At the moment now, you've got various entities now having to form a judgment as to whether their location is better than the old one, which are not the location recipient. I want to give that responsibility entirely to the location recipient, and not that any of the other entities have to make a value judgment as to which one's the better one. That's proposal means one of them has got to decide before you can actually insert this, as far as I'm
concerned. I disagree. I think that my proposal supports either approach to this. As I walked through this, actually, I described it in terms that I thought would satisfy you, which is why I'm so sad to see you with the microphone. So let me run through it again and see if I get it this time. So let's say that location one goes up to the proxy. The proxy thinks, I've got something else. Maybe it doesn't have to be better. Just say else. And I want you to have both.
It's something else. It doesn't know whether it's better or not.
Yeah, right, fine. So what it does, when it sends back the 424, it sends a PIDIF body that is composed of both the location from L1 and the location it's learning from the LG. And then the user agent reoriginates that and sends it along. What's the problem? As I said, PIDIF LO bodies can contain multiple locations. The critical thing about this, again, PIDIF has the presence machinery in it to be able to do all the data model things that differentiate between users and devices and services, which is what you need in order to actually be able to make sense of this if you're the location recipient. What I don't want, and I think what you're advocating for, is for the location recipient instead to get a SIP message that contains pointers to a bunch of PIDIF LO bodies, the relationship between which is not actually explained in data model terms. Well, like here's one body, here's a different body, here's a third, fourth, fifth body that, you know, are all just kind of jumbled in there. I think that if we put this all in a single PIDIF body, we can contextualize what came from where much better than we can at a SIP layer. And that is indeed one of the things that is grounding this proposal.
Right. Now, the other use case where the proxy is inserting information, but the original user has not. Is that also going to result in a 424?
The proxy is inserting things that the original user is not.
Yeah. The original user didn't know the location.
The original user did not know the location.
It's possible that you could, sure. I mean, I think in that use case, probably the proxy server would... If the user agent put in no geolocation header, is that what you mean?
The original user put in no geolocation... Well, I'm not saying no geolocation header, but didn't put in a location.
Okay. I mean, so typically the way we've talked about this in the past is that, in that case, the proxy would add a new geolocation header that would contain a reference to what's in here.
Well, it would,
that's also something it can do in this case, too, right?
But would it, in that case, return a 424 or not?
Yeah, so again, a lot of this depends on whether or not you think the user agent supports the geolocation mechanism or not, right? Whether it supports the header or not. And so if you think that it does, sending it back a 424 and giving it a body is a useful way to approach this. If you think it doesn't, adding a geolocation header with a reference is the better way to approach it.
I don't know that it's going to necessarily support the 424 act, the action of receiving a 424, and knowing it's now got to resend the call.
Yeah, I understand all this, but I don't understand what use case you think I'm not satisfied with this. I've just explained how to do everything you want to do. If you think that I've not explained anything you want to do, go back and tell me what it is that I'm not able to do here.
Okay, just as a point of order, we are a minute over time now. There will be a group trickling in here that expects to start their own working group meeting in 15 minutes.
I believe that's us. It's Martini.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's the same people.
I don't mind wasting their time either.
But we will need a bathroom break.
I'm happy to absolutely blow completely over Martini's slot.
Hadriel Kaplan. First point is don't use the letters LI in anything but lawful intercept. Second point is that this is a nice idea in theory. It's too late, and it's not pragmatic. And the reason it's not pragmatic, well, the reason it's too late is products are deployed. But the reason it's not pragmatic is that in the real world, UAs don't support Jack. And it's incumbent upon the guys actually receiving, this is for SOS calls, by the way, emergency calls I'm talking about, which is for me, and I apologize, but for me that's like the huge use case for location information. If you don't agree with that, then...
I don't agree that it's a use case where I think people are going to be tremendously concerned about UA permissions or anything like that, but yes, go on.
It's a tremendous use case where people are concerned about rejecting a request.
Yeah, and as I said on the list, I really don't expect that in emergency services cases, the specialized intermediaries that are going to be contributing to this architecture are going to listen to anything that we tell them to do. They're not going to listen to security that is associated with requests, right? They're not going to do anything other than what is gets the right location most expediently to the people that need it. And so, again, I don't think that we can reasonably write guidance that we expect is going to constrain those entities, to be frank. I think they'll, if they want to, they'll chop and dice invites all they want.
So you want to change the mechanisms, but not for the use case that is the primary one for the mechanism?
No, I want to simplify the mechanism down to a point where all the machinery that we've built up to satisfy your use case, which will never be exercised because those intermediaries are going to do whatever they want and disregard this stuff,
well, except we
does
follow
not
most...
put cruft in it for the things we actually are trying to do for services outside of emergency services. All that cruft exists to support this use case, and none of it will ever be used in those use cases, right?
Well, actually, I disagree with that. I mean, it is used right now in the sense of, you know, we insert the
in
geo...
In the sense of the NINA service that uses this today is using it? Is that what
I'm sorry? In the sense of...
The NINA service
all I know is we were required to go in and to take PIDFLOW, insert it into the body from a database we got the information from...
I'm sure you are.
...and send it forward on.
We cannot say that in a standard document, however, right? That you're going to insert a PIDF body into an invite that goes bot. So we're not going to say that. Therefore, we're going to say something.
Well, I sure hope you did, that. Because that's what everybody does. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
I know you're going to do that.
Anyway,
but it's not
from
say
a pragmatic
that.
Perspective, just to try to cut this short, yeah. It's up really, I know you want to, the real work actually isn't coming upon the guy, the receiver. It's actually okay to make him do that work trying to figure out what the heck is in that message, because that's his specialty. In the pragmatic sense of the world, the UA doesn't give a crap about this stuff. And it's the guy who actually receives it who does. And so it's actually incumbent upon him to do all the hard work of figuring out all the body information because he's willing to do it and spend the money to accomplish that task. Whereas the UA really just made a phone call and had no idea what that was going on. It just sent an invite. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but ironically, okay. I think that we're working to the same end. I really do. Okay. I just don't think that... What am I really getting rid of here, right? I'm getting rid of these parameters like used for routing and inserted by and things like that, which are irrelevant to the processing of this in the context I think that you care about, in which, again, you're just going to stick a body in there, and it's going to be what's get used
with
by
an
far
inserted
end,
by
right?
And everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, oh, okay. I mean,
they want to know who inserted it, which...
It says that in the PIDFLO, and that's what they actually listen to.
Agreed.
Okay? So, I mean, that does not get, I think, exercised in this case in any meaningful sense. If the stuff is in the SIP layer... then it's there because it's supposed to be read by the SIP layer entities. And if it's not being exercised by them, then it should be in the PIDF body where it belongs. And the guys who consume it at the end of the day are the people that care about this. I totally agree with you about that.
Krista Hollmer, I think what Keith was trying to say is that if the UE doesn't support 424, the next invite, if it sends a new invite in the first place, is going to look exactly as the previous one. It's not going to copy what it got in the 424, so the call is never going to go through. But my comment was really related
can
to
I,
this.
Can I speak to that first? Because, I mean, again, if the UA sends a geolocation header, I expect it to understand 424, and if it doesn't, I don't.
Okay.
And it will just add a geolocation header with the reference as it goes by. So that's not a concern.
Yeah. That's good. My question was regarding this, what's seen there now is that when the UE does support it and the proxy returns both its own LA1 and LA2, and I guess in theory there could have been another proxy which returns LA3 or whatever, but when this new invite comes, which contains both LA1 and LA2, again, of course, the proxy only... Does it mean that the proxy is happy as long as there is one location that it's all right with? Because if it previously rejected LI1, but LA1 is there again, now it's not going to reject it because LA2 is there and I'm happy with LA2. So we need to say something like that. As long as there is one location I'm happy with, I don't care about the other locations indicated there. Of course, if the proxy remembers this previous and it keeps some kind of state, it could be, have some logic to understand it, but this could be a decoupled proxy or a stateless proxy or whatever, so it has no clue about this previous invite.
I don't think that I've added that to this architecture. I think that's always been a problem. Any proxy could always have decided that the PIDF bodies that have been added by other entities it didn't like, and it's going to reject the request because of them, right? I'm changing the syntax much more than the semantics. So I really think that's true. I'm trying to clean up the syntax.
Okay, just real quick, 3 more minutes, and then we're going to take a 5-minute bathroom break so people aren't leaving during martini. I'm cutting the line off here. You each have 45 seconds.
Trister, I think what we could do there is explore the possibility of as long as the proxy's location is included, it doesn't matter what other location is included, it'll pass.
I think this is as much of a problem as it's ever been in the architecture. Nothing new. Martin.
Martin Thompson, I have not been convinced by any of the arguments against this proposal so far. It works fine for me. There may be some problems with people who already have software. That's kind of what you get for implementing internet drafts.
Internet draft has been around for a little while, so I think
it's been around for longer than most of our RFCs.
My only concern a little bit is that we have some quite strong language now around what you should put into the same PIDF flow and what you shouldn't when you're planning on using that object for routing, right? 5491. I think, says what it is that you should do and what you shouldn't do. So it makes quite a big difference in terms of what that proxy does in terms of the ordering. And if those are, in fact, completely different locations, like not in the same state or whatever it happens to be, then I'm fairly sure that they're actually supposed to go back in different PIDF documents. So we just need to kind of keep some of that.
Really?
Make sure that we're not out of sync with what's going on there.
If it could be that if that says that they're supposed to be in different documents, I'll have to look at that. But
yeah, I can't remember exactly what it is, but
honestly,
it's fairly clear, I think.
I would recommend against it still, probably, in that case. If it's about the same entity, right?
Yeah.
If what's the top of the PIDF document is about the same entity, and that entity may possess devices that are in different states for various reasons, right? I mean, not because of VPNs and... Yep. But that doesn't change the fact, again, that the data model works the way the data model works, and probably they can at least be safely composed from a data model perspective. Mr. Polk.
Everything is consistent in the existing O2 with 5491 in that if it's about the same entity, then they're in the same PIDF, or the low part. If they're two different entities, Bob and Alice, they're two different PIDFs.
Yeah.
Or there are multiple PIDFs, multiple message bodies, in the same request.
Which I probably wouldn't recommend, actually.
Oh, I'm not recommending Alice and Bob get sent in the same request.
Right, that's part of the
request. That's what it says, if one option is to write 03 this way, and for us to do a... Do we prefer 03 or O2?
Side comparison, yeah.
And we can always go back to 02 and then mod it.
Well, to be honest, James, I'm not particularly interested in the process that we're going to back out.
I think
document has suffered long enough. You've suffered long enough. I'm trying to help end
everyone's
suffering.
8 years I've suffered with this.
Yep.
And this multiple location has been the biggest issue.
The problem is when these documents get cut, they leave scar tissue, and there's a lot of scars on this now. And, you know, we need plastic surgery.
A lot of scars on me, too. I like the move if everybody's going to accept the limitations it's going to provide.
There's somebody behind you. I think you might have some input.
I know.
Okay, Colin, keep it short, and we're going
to... So there's two ways that I look at this when I think about, hey, should we switch to this proposal or not? One is about the timeliness on which we can get it done, since that's clearly an issue, and the other one is on the end quality impact of what we'd result in, particularly to do with, you know, what gets deployed in the field in the long run, whether it works, whether small children die. And so when I look at... Sorry, Adam, had to have that for you. Llamas, too. When I look at the quality, I think this is far simpler and would just work out better for people. I think it would be much easier to get it right. I understand it would impact some things that were existing deployed, but I think it would still be easier on that thing. When I look at the timeline scale of this, I think we'd like to think the other document is close to done, but I think it is currently far, far from done, and this one would actually be finished much sooner. So I'm in favor of this one on both sides.
Okay, thank you very much. Please continue the discussion on the list. This was a good discussion, and we need to drive it to conclusion so we can tell John whether he needs to go off and spend time putting in place the changes he's suggested here. And now I'm going to allow the martini chairs to come up.